K-Mud Podcast presents.
Welcome, everybody. Hey. This is the politically correct week in review. I'm in the studio, Josh in the studio, and
I'm Charlie on the sofa.
On the sofa. That's your new handle, Charlie on the sofa.
I am comfortable in shedding my discomfort upon listeners.
Comfortable. Well, of course, the biggest question on everybody's mind now is who was booed at the Super Bowl yesterday? Was it Taylor Swift or Donald Trump? Or was it both? What's your opinion, Charlie?
I bet it was both. I mean, when you've got 80,000 people from two different colored sections of the country, there's going to be a lot of conflicting booing and cheering.
Right.
And I think that's what we've got. But it is funny that poor Taylor Swift has become a stand-in for loser Democrats, I think.
Well, now a loser
that almost
teams.
Seems unfair. Maybe not.
Yeah, no. I mean, she must be crushed that her boo didn't prevail. Of course, it was the venue was in yet another location than the team's location. So that's even adds to the mix. New Orleans, who knows what happened down there. Yeah.
No, it's true. But I think most of the people, all we know about New Orleans is that most people who live there can't afford, $3,000 tickets.
Right.
So I imagine most of those people.
I want to know who booed who in the bars that were watching the game. Right. That's the more important metric there, I'd say.
Well, the point we can all take home is that Trump actually favored the Chiefs. He thought they were going to win. So finally, we've caught him in an error after all these years.
Well, and now he knows why presidents don't go to the Super Bowl. Right. Yeah, no. And so interestingly, the last time the Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl, they were invited by Trump to come to the White House to celebrate, and they declined. And so it's up in the air what's going to happen now. Haven't heard yet.
Well, he's already met them, so he doesn't have to invite them.
That's right, yeah. And apparently they've taken down the end racism messaging in the end zones there now. So, it's all over. Oh, my. So my question to Charlie earlier today, was there a way to avoid talking about Trump today, this evening? It seems like – yeah.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah, my reply was, what else is there? But there's a little bit,
but it's all sort of tangential to the situation here. I mean,
yes, the Trump shock and awe having effect.
The fire hose continues and to great effect, because now everywhere, everyone, every time talks about Donald Trump, good or bad, he doesn't care. It's his name is out there and it's all about the name.
Well, it's hard to imagine 4 years of this, but it seems like he really is playing on his reality TV star training. He knows how to hold our attention, and he knows that the plot has to keep changing. And he knows he's got to jump the shark every week if he's going to keep his ratings high.
That reminds me, mentioning reality TV, I was able to see the movie The Apprentice this week about the upcoming would-be Trump character from the beginning of his grandeur, delusions of grandeur. Really effective movie. It's hard to imagine how that movie got made, or let alone still exists. It's because it's kind of a cruel cut in a lot of ways, although it paints Trump as a rather sympathetic character for the purposes of the movie, as just sort of a hapless loser who can't help himself, it's poor
we should
poor
all
Mr.
be so
Guy.
Unlucky, huh?
Yeah. But it kind of illustrates, I mean, the Roy Cohn character in that movie, it just, grooms Trump to be who he became. And by the end of the movie, Trump has adopted his playbook, hook, line, and sinker, and calls it his own now. And it's just manifest as we see it happening.
For our younger listeners, Roy Cohn was Joe McCarthy's legal. He was a lawyer. He worked for the Senate. He ran the House Un-American Activities Commission, and he was as sleazy a slimeball as as you could ask politics to create. And when he retired in disgrace, he went to New York and started working for Trump's father. And he became a very close friend of Trump's, kind of a model.
A mentor, really, as portrayed in this movie,
A
The
mobster
Apprentice.
mentor.
I would recommend the movie, The Apprentice.
Now, where did you see it? Is it streaming somewhere?
I can't remember who was streaming it, but my sister, I was with my sister, and she said, "Oh, I'm going to rent it." It was, $5 or something. So
No,
they're
that
still
sounds like
making some
fun.
money on it.
Good.
It was let's see, an Iraqi, Iraqi Danish filmmaker, I think it was, or no, Iranian Danish filmmaker, which,
That sounds un-American.
It was un-American to begin with, yeah. But, like I said, it was rather sympathetic. He's just kind of going through the motions of becoming who he became and the experiences that made him. And he had a vision. You can't deny that, that's for sure.
Well, I remember that.
Yeah. So, yeah,
But
what's happening here with the world? I know J.D. Vance chimed in the other day and said that judges don't have the right to deny what the president says is a thing, forgetting the concept of the rule of law and the separation of powers, I guess.
well, those are long forgotten. And the truth is, lest we forget, that the judiciary invented its own power of review and rejection. It's nowhere in the Constitution. And there is no, the Constitution doesn't make any effort to give justices enforcement power.
Well,
The
yeah, but I'm talking about
problem in
the lower
our
courts here
society is that it's
too.
all based on norms. It's
Yeah.
we're supposed to be polite to each other.
Yeah.
But you may remember, the Trail of Tears in the 1830s when Andrew Jackson drove the five civilized tribes out of the Southeast so that planters could go in and get rich and make more money off their slaves. That was illegal. It was illegal from top to bottom, and the Supreme Court said so. And his response was, the Chief Justice has made his decision. Now let him enforce it.
Right.
And he ran them all out and created King Cotton. So, Trump is assuredly not going to get in trouble simply for ignoring the law. That's, presidents do that. What laws he ignores may come back to bite his butt.
I mean, the Constitution also says that the duty of the president is to
To enforce the
carry out the
laws.
laws, yeah,
Yeah.
as written
No,
by
that's right.
Congress. And so we're up against it now with dissolving agencies that are enacted by Congress. And yeah, I mean, Stephen Colbert had a good take on this USAID purge. He said, yeah, they're inspecting the doing a what's the word I'm looking for? The assessment of when you're When the IRS comes and gets you, what's the word?
Auditing?
An audit. Yeah, they're doing an audit. And they're doing it like a dentist would by taking out a perfectly good tooth and inspecting it and saying, yes, this looks pretty good. And then going to the next one. I mean, a real audit would just be an exam and a recommendation, not just a complete overhaul and reversal of every activity all at once. They say it's temporary. Just to get it back on track, I guess is what they're saying. Although they've laying off everybody doesn't look that way.
Well,
Although,
they're just winging it.
Well, so the court has said put a freeze on disposing of all the employees, and they don't think they can do that. They shouldn't do that. We're going to follow that. So, like you say, courts. I mean, what's the penalty? Contempt of court. Okay, come and get me.
Yeah, well, we'll have to wait 4 years for that.
Well, it has to go through to the Supreme Court.
Well, but remember, we can't press charges against a sitting president.
All right.
And his flunkies, of course, can all get pardoned instantly.
Right.
So, no, it's quite a mess.
Okay, let's see what this caller has to say. Hello,
Hey, guys.
caller. You're on the air.
Hey, you're on. Welcome.
Oh, how you guys doing today?
Oh, hanging in.
Well, I every time I try to critique what's going on with the whatever side you want to call it. People say that I'm defending, you know, the orange bad man.
Yeah.
And right. I'm not. I'm just saying that when you open the doors with your precedents, when the opposing power or the opposing party gets into power, they're going to exploit those precedents that you have opened the door to.
Yeah.
And this is a lot of what is happening now. And people don't want to go back and critique the Biden administration or the Harris, whatever. They don't
give us
want
a couple
to look
examples.
At what they were actually doing. And instead, they want to complain that Trump is now instituting fascism or Nazi Germany style Weimar or whatever. Do we forget that under Biden, you were forced to take an experimental gene therapy to participate in society, to have a job, to go shopping? You were going to have to show your vaccination papers to go to Safeway. And these are the same people that jump up and down and throw a hissy fit when you say, hey, you should probably have confirmation identification when you go to vote. And they don't understand the dichotomy there. And this is what gets me frustrated when you start to jump in Trump's case, and I'm not defending him, and I hate to have to say that. But when you open these doors, when you have these actual policy decisions that were enacted, and then Trump turns around and takes advantage of that power that you have now arrogated to yourself, you shouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, there's a lot of precedent making on all sides, for sure.
It's a bipartisan devolution.
I mean, I like Bill Burr's take on this, the comedian. You know,
he was asked
on one of the late night talk shows years ago about, you know, what do you think about this whole Trump phenomenon? And he goes, just shut up about it. You're feeding air into the balloon. You just keep blowing it up and blowing it up. You know, and when you do that, of course the guy's going to come out. People don't understand that. One of the key moments for Trump to decide to run for president back in 2015, I'm dating myself here, was the fact that at one of the last correspondence dinners that Obama held, Obama ripped Donald a new one and just kept cutting on it in front of God and country. And one of the last lines that Obama gave him was, you know what, another difference between me and you, Donald? You'll never be president. And then right when he said that, the cameras focused on Donald Trump's face. And you could see he was stony-faced, but you could see his eyes gleam. There was absolutely no expression on his face at all, but you could see his eyes almost start to glow. And we also forget that on a phone call with Bill Clinton, encouraged Donald to run in the Republican Party for president. Okay, these are established facts. The Democrats sliced their own throat on this one.
Bill and Hillary both thought that Trump would be the weakest opponent. That's why they supported him. As usual, they were wrong.
And they were wrong in the fact that he is a showman. He was part of the WWF. He had his own show. Remember, he was invited on every daytime talk show. He was invited on every nighttime talk show. He hosted Saturday Night Live during his run for presidency the first time. All of these things happened. The media gave him $1.5 billion. In free advertising. And then they wonder why they lost. Okay, and as far as this Doge thing and everybody saying that, well, we didn't elect Elon Musk. Well, no, you kind of did, because Elon Musk was at every campaign rally and Donald was saying, this is what we're going to do. And the American people said, yeah, we want you to do this.
A certain percentage.
He's doing it. He's got 53 or 54% approval rating on keeping his promises, which is higher than any time in his first term, because he is doing what he campaigned on, which no other politician. They are all liars. There is this old joke. You know how you can tell when politicians and lawyers are lying? Their lips move. And yet we venerate these people as our leaders and as representatives of our country, and we're telling these jokes in the open. There's somewhere in here, there's a break in reality in people's minds. And I would just like them to look at and maybe come back down to earth instead of letting yourself go. That's all.
All righty.
And I love your show, guys. You're one of the few shows that I listen to anymore on this partisan radio station, because you are one of the few shows that actually describes reality as it is. And I thank you for that.
Oh, thanks for
that. It's the only thing that keeps me listening to this show. So thank you very much, guys.
Okay. Thanks,
thanks for
that.
Your call.
Yeah. That's
and your compliment. Yeah. We're non-partisan. We hate everyone.
Yeah. You know, I've long held that there's no good reason to venerate the office of presidency. They're administrators that work for us and should be doing a job, and period. That's just the way it is, no matter who they are. And I guess my sort of demonization of Trump has more to do with my belief that he doesn't understand the way the world works. And I can get into that more, considering deficits, trade deficits, and so on, in the, after we take this caller.
You're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, this is, you know, I think it was the previous, it was right after the news or something, and they had like jail time talk about gender-affirming care. Mm-hmm. And it keeps coming up in the news in middle school and high school. And here's the deal. I just don't want to have to pay for it. I'm a taxpayer. And I don't want to, okay, you're born a boy and now you want to be a girl or vice versa or whatever. That's great. No problem. But you know what? I was born without a rear. And I have wanted a Brazilian butt lift, like, pretty much my entire life. Now, is that qualify as gender-affirming?
We can find a Democrat to promise you a new butt. Surely we can.
And I want double the size in case of deep weight. I wouldn't ask. Okay, you're born the way you are. It's not always great. You know, I'm sorry, but you know, like, this butt thing has bugged me my whole life, and I've been to fitness instructors. My brother, blah blah blah. I've done more squats than Carter House Hills, and nothing works. So I'm just wondering, you know, like,
well, yeah, I know
gender affirming. I want to be gender affirmed with a big booty, kind of, you know, but you can't always get what you want, folks, you know.
So I'm wondering that the prohibitions now on transsexuals and men converted to women competing against women in sports and so on, and the whole thing about bathrooms.
Oh, I totally disagree with that.
And the
men,
thing,
they should not be in women's
sports. About bathrooms made me stop and think that there's always this big fear that you don't want somebody who used to identify as a man coming into a ladies' room. But what about the other way around?
I live off the grid. I don't even care.
Yeah, I don't care either. But the logic behind it, and I guess that's what I'm sort of alluding to, Trump not understanding some logic. There seemed to be this big preoccupation that we don't want, you know, what we conceive of as men going into ladies' rooms. But what about the other way around, where somebody who was...
Well, men don't care if women come in. I've been to so many concerts and big bowls where, a half-drunk girl charges into the men's room and says, hey, guys, I got an emergency, and the guys think it's great.
Right. Okay. I guess that answers that question. Sure.
It's like the... here's another deal. They just came out with the national report card. And I sadly live in Portland because my stupid parents moved up here when I was really little. Okay. And it's affordable because my home house is 2.2 mil now. But the elephant in the living room, like, so they just did Why Everybody's So Stupid. The fourth grade through eighth grade reading and math scores are hideous. It's
oh, right. This is the big post-COVID
reveal. They're worse
reveal,
than they were 30 years ago. And it's my mom was, my mom, my aunt, everybody were school teachers. So it's like, and everybody read. And the elephant in the living room is the iPhone. Mm-hmm. And everybody gets one and they're 5 years old, including my brother's daughter, And here's your babysitter. Off you go. See you. Bye. See you when you're 18. Let me know when I have to pay for college,
Yep.
Yeah. That's true.
It's so obvious that these kids are dumbed down because of just the iPhone.
Yeah, I heard an analysis of that latest national report card that was attributing the COVID closed down years for pivotal age groups that, missed out on a lot of opportunities for learning.
Yeah.
But yeah, certainly they were even more enthralled to their iPhones at that point. Yeah.
Yeah. And they haven't begun to recover.
I'm I'm just putting it out. I'm putting it out there. It's not like truth or anything. It's just
so
to
address your booty problem. I know somebody who was an advocate for psychedelic drugs and their development and so on, and he thought that the great turning point of potential law changes was when Viagra was counted as a necessary drug that even I guess Medicare maybe pays for. That for the first time, a drug that was specifically tailored for nothing but individual pleasure would be supportable, so that was like, oh, if that's true, then why can't we have mushrooms everywhere we want them, et cetera?
Why can't
and
you
I
have a booty for
booty
boys
job.
To enjoy?
Yeah.
This is totally logical. Yeah. Yes.
This is – okay. Okay. We're on to something here. This is great. I love it. Okay. Well, kids are going to – we'll take all their phones away. Everybody gets a free booty job, Everybody gets
of their choice.
Transgender stuff done, And
psychedelics for all.
And Trump can pay for it. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for your call. We got another one on the line here.
Okay, bye.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
KMUD is a community radio station in the Redwood region of Northern California. Donate to support people-powered radio at kmud.org.
Hey, caller.
Welcome. You're on.
Good evening. So as far as psychotropics, Mr. Musk apparently is quite braggadocious about his use of mind-altering substances.
Yeah, he loves the ketamine, apparently.
Says he has an unlimited capacity for it, right?
Yeah.
I would say that just getting to the psychotropics, being a founding member of MAPS, Multi-Applied Psychedelic Studies at Stanford, and having at that time been a student of Dr. Terrence McKenna, and finding myself in a very elevated position to talk to some people from academia about the use of psychotropics. And the net result was that through MAPS, psychotropics have been proven all the way up to the military commands for healing properties for people experiencing PTSD. And that would go, again, to, I would say, to some of this gender dysphoria, and also coupled with this identity of the other. Mm-hmm. And these are all very large philosophical states of mind that are so interconnected in the threat of an overreach by a very obvious attempt to create an authoritarian government where, quote-unquote, men are men and girls are girls. Number 34, the 34-time felon, has said that this should be a Christian nation, and yet we're a nation that's not supposed to be founded under one distinct ecumenical principle. And I would just say to each of you as my neighbors and as fellow thinkers of compassionate hearts that what we're experiencing, again, with this ideation of the other, whether they be Hispanics under the hunt or transgender persons under the hunt or intellectuals under the hunt, this number 34 has said that we want to prohibit all speech against Palestinian protests. And if you're an international student and you're found at a protest pro-Palestine, then you're going to have your visa revoked. I mean, these are authoritarian moves, guys, and it should be very disquieting, especially given the understanding that the person who's the head of the Department of Defense, if he's sober right now, Hegseth, said in his confirmation that the Geneva Convention was a quaint piece of paper that was written by a bunch of old men and has no format for the modern warfare. And modern warfare is drones that are armed and kill indiscriminately using AI to identify their victim. We've seen this play out very much so in Palestine with the not indiscriminate, but the discriminate use of warfare against civilian women and children. And it's not just the drones, it's phosphorus, white phosphorus, which is illegal to use in a battlefield, even against soldiers. So the information bank, let's get back to the knowledge base that each of us possess. It's our compassion. We're human beings. The exoplanet, this planet we live on, is struggling so hard right along with us. So, you know, it's also very overwhelming. And so what do we got, guys? We've got our rationale, our desire to remain in that 50-some percent of our brain that is rational and compassionate, because we know that the other 48% or so is divided between fight and flight. And I think we're all better off not running away nor fighting. I don't want to talk about fighting for our rights anymore. Let's work toward justice, social, economic justice. We are still, no one can take away the fact that we're the 99%.
Yeah.
You can't take that away from us.
Yeah, no, I get disturbed by that let's fight, because it just mirrors the what you're up against.
It's the same nomenclature of a faux battle. I said this when I worked on the Sanders campaign. I said this is the wrong verbiage.
Yeah.
Heck with fighting.
Yeah.
Let's motivate toward a discussion and an informed debate. Let's create consensus. The person who's hitting is the one who's hurting the most in the first place.
Right.
You know?
And that, you know, the idea that what we're up against here is that most of the things that have happened in government and society that have advanced our humanity or our compassion or our understanding of the world have come about in a roundabout way to have what we are today. And this new realm that we're up against now seems to be wanting their main goal is to dismiss that sort of progress that, you know, none of it matters.
And to encourage and foment less discussion, more frustration, and more combativeness.
Yeah.
And Brain over brawn, folks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know if you're going to try to hit me, I'm going to hug you, and you won't be able to hit me.
Yeah.
Because the person who's hitting is the one who's hurting the most. Let's stop. You know, we said that as kids, stop hitting yourself. Let's all stop hitting ourselves. Let's stop shaming ourselves. Let's begin to love ourselves, self-respect, self-care. And self-care has become a meme. But it's true. Because if I don't care about myself, then what the heck?
Yeah.
I'll throw my gum wrapper on the ground. I mean, that's this distastefulness of existence. We all possess the ability to take... freedom isn't free and it's not dumb. If we inform each other... And this, again, is the advent of this age, is that the disinformation, the malaprops, the bending of truth, the using a statement over and over again, the word unprecedented.
Yeah.
Let's substitute that with a real word, because I'm so sick of unprecedented. How about unpresidential?
Yeah.
How about un-American? How about lacking in compassion? And to finish on a really primary issue, folks, it's cold out there. If you got a jacket or something to help somebody be warm, put it in your gosh darn car, sleeping bag, something. If it's a spare thing that you just don't need and use, if you can afford to replace it, help your brother or sister or child out on the sidewalk. Let's stop apologizing for being human. Let's just be human.
Yeah. Okay.
So thank you for the format. And again, free speech is under threat, guys.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
You know, to heck with buying extemporaneous stuff. You know, and please don't buy stuff on Amazon and support that crazy state. Extend a couple bucks to the station. $5 helps. You know, anything. If you got a car on your lot, anything. We've got to keep our ability to have free speech alive. It is the last nail in the coffin that the authoritarians, they're already scheduling conversations with NPR and public and PBS in March. You know, Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know, what a stand-up. You know, these folks are going to talk about relegating our speech, folks who speak from a very angry, banal point of view as I would say, un-American, unpatriotic, lacking in humanity. We all can own this. Let's peacefully, before Hegseth, you know, they start, who's going to be the first person shot in, like, 10th state? What campus is it going to be? What's going to be the result? Let's not fight with each other, guys and gals. Please stop this nonsense.
Okay, thank you for that.
Yep.
Yeah, thanks for your call.
Yeah, you know, that NPR and PBS investigation that's being launched, I read the document from the FCC head, and citing chapter and verse of the law that prohibits product placement from for-profit sponsors. It's very clear, and I've complained about this for a long time, that it's really obvious that they're skirting the edge of that law, that some of the mainstream PBS programming has very kind of intrusive, no way to describe it other than advertising. And so they've sort of shot themselves in the foot, because there's a handle to hang that ban on, or the reduction of funding, because they are, in fact, not obeying the law. And
they're supposed to be even-handed and bipartisan.
Yeah.
But the sources they go to for information and the shows that they sponsor, the Atlantic magazine, for example, has a weekly forum of their chief columnists whose careers are spent attacking and defaming Trump. And they're a weekly feature on PBS, which is supposed to be a nonpartisan station. You know, examples like this go on and on.
Right.
But on the other hand, just briefly escaping from Trump, going back to the Biden administration, as we know, the First Amendment explicitly says the government can't censor newspapers. Mm-hmm. So how does the government go about censoring newspapers since it can't? Well, it funds non-governmental organizations that it then instructs on how they want censorship to proceed. And, you know, there were famous examples of this that came out of the Twitter papers. But the Doge henchmen of Musk have already come up with the to me, interesting fact that USAID, which, you know, they may or may not be dismembering, subscribes to a professional information service from Politico, the political website that's sort of the in geek show or place where bold-faced politicians read about themselves. Politico sells $8 million a year in political subscriptions just to USAID.
You know, I'd like to stop you right there and fact check you.
$34 million in the last five. Tell me about it. I looked it up,
uh-huh. though. That $8 million is not all USAID. That's all agencies. In fact,
I've read that, but the number is coming exclusively from
USAspending.gov. USAspending.gov cracks it down. I think it came out to like $44,000 from USAID for those products. Subscriptions.
And the government spends $8 million.
Overall, including
a nonpartisan, non-governmental organization that covers the news from an explicitly and uniquely democratic perspective.
Well, the fact is
it's only $8 million a year.
All the agencies involved, I mean, every agency that subscribes, including congressional members, and it's you could argue, in fact, the subscription price is ridiculous. They have
well,
things
of course.
Like,
institutions that don't, where the individuals don't have to pay for it will pay for this, of course.
Yeah,
that's,
of course.
That's how you define sponsorship.
It's the kind of thing that, you know, heads of CEOs and professionals just put in their list of things to keep them briefed on the latest thing. And you can, depending on how many people have a right to look at it, is what the subscription's based on. It's very overpriced, but apparently in-depth stuff that we're not privy to because we're not subscribers. Well, if you're not paying $1,000 a month to get the inside track of stuff.
It'd be fun to know how many more millions of dollars are spent outside of government on this exclusive service that bureaucrats have no use for because they're non-political, remember?
Yeah, it's sort of like, you know, subscribing to the Wall Street Journal, whether or not you read it because you're supposed to because you're in the biz, you know. Anyway, there are some details there that got out as outrageous fact that under closer scrutiny, that it's a little different.
This goes back to a point I made a couple of shows ago. There is no more truth. I've seen the assertions. I've seen the debunkings. I've seen the debunkings of the debunkings. You know, we no longer have trustworthy sources that will determine for us what we have to understand
or think.
We have to do it for ourselves.
Or time to crack it down. I mean, I referenced a 3,884-page document from Congress that's the official accounting of the year's or the quarter's expenditures to the, you know, pharmacy prescription. You know, it's like niggly little numbers that add up every allowance for all the members of Congress and their staff and the hotels and the flights. And it just goes on and on forever. And it's only people like Politico that crack into that kind of thing. Who wants to look in that to find out what money's being spent where? So there's that. I mean, God love them.
It's funny. All that I've ever seen from Politico is celebrity fanboy write-ups of Democratic politicians.
Do you subscribe?
I assume that's what people subscribe for. It's certainly
The one particular publication that AID, USAID subscribed to is actually it's called E&E, Environment and Energy. News, I guess you'd call it. They don't call it news. It's like analysis and, you know, tapping the pulse of all energy and environment stuff out there. And it's informative to those who are looking at it, I would imagine, but I don't know because I'm not paying $1,000 a month to look at it.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah, the reason I'm struck by these numbers is you can make a false equivalency between politicos peddling these executive services to government personnel. You can compare it to Bloomberg, who charges even more than that on a monthly basis to have terminals installed all across Midtown Manhattan that give dynamic real-time numbers about everything under the sun for speculation. Now, why is it so expensive? Because you're going to make a lot more money getting those that data.
Yeah.
Why is Politico's thing so expensive? Well, because it takes a lot of money to pay for their children's orthodonty and summer vacations in Martha's Vineyard. Why would a bureaucrat need to have this business insight? These are open questions. They're squishy questions, and they are defined by our media according to which extreme employs that media. And this is what makes it so difficult to come to conclusions about the nature of things anymore, because authoritative sources, God knows, are not authoritative, and we have to make up our own minds.
So, another professional service, LexisNexis, that everybody goes to for...
Yeah, go ahead and define it for those who don't know.
Well, it's a, depending on the... It's a subscription service that... let's see. What is it? What is Nexis? What is LexisNexis?
Well, one of the things it does is it gives instant access to legal.
As in
legal
Lex,
decisions.
As in Lex.
So
yeah,
and it enables you to quickly search for precedents established in law. So it's it's a basic tool for law firms and some journalists.
Again, another caller here. So let's. I wanted to get into finance a little, but let's talk about.
All right, we'll get there.
Yeah.
Hey, caller, you're on the air.
Hey, cool. This whole thing with USAID, there's no aid in USAID. It's the Agency for International Development, and what they do is they fund supposedly independent media all around the world, and what that entails is hundreds, if not thousands, of media sites. Like, for Russia itself, there's over 300 media sites that are outside of Russia, but yet are funded by USAID, be critical of the Russian government and pro-Western government and pro-Western policies and viewpoints. In Ukraine, 11 out of 12 media companies or media sites are funded by the Agency for International Development. And the way you can tell that it's having effect is when Trump shut off the spigot of money, suddenly all these media sites started screaming that they were about to shut down, including Politico itself, which failed to pay its people and has sent out an email saying they don't know when their people are going to get paid.
That changed quickly, though.
Well, that changed quickly because somebody else stepped up for funding. Okay, and people say, oh, it was a technical glitch. That was Politico's thing. But then people actually started digging into it, and they found out how much money Politico was getting paid. Now, as far as the COVID scam that went on, the U.S. government paid the media corporation, and I want to emphasize this. There are only six owners of 95% of media in the United States. And if you actually look at it, there are only three owners of those six. And those three are Vanguard, State Street, and BlackRock Investments. They own everything in the United States, like 99% of the businesses. If you follow the food chain all the way to the top of the pyramid, you will see BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street Investments own everything in this country, including the media. But our government gave the media to propagandize the American people $1.5 billion just in 2021 and 2020 alone. And I actually think it's been more than that. But the U.S. government, through all of their agencies, to put the word out and to suppress dissenting voices and to censor the American people, spent $1.5 billion of your tax dollars to propagandize you that the government knew best, fearmonger, that this was a deadly pandemic. Now, to get back to COVID, did you know that the government incentivized hospitals, for-profit hospitals, that if a patient came in and they were diagnosed with COVID, the hospital got $25,000. If the patient went on a respirator, the hospital got another $25,000. If the patient got administered run death is near, they got $50,000. And to top it all off, if the patient died after all that treatment, quote unquote, they got a bonus of $40,000 on top of it. These are facts. These are on the CDC. Do your usaspending.gov and check that out. This is what happened during COVID. People were actually killed. Your government actually paid for hospitals to kill you because 80% of people who go on respirators die. This is a known medical fact. And the only reason they were putting them on respirators was to protect the first responders and the nurses and the doctors. It wasn't because people were having trouble breathing.
Okay?
You can look at this. I encourage everybody, don't take my word for it. Look it up. And like you said, you will have to go to your own trusted sources. But this is part of what's called natural law. For these people to be able to do this to you and yet not suffer retribution, like cosmic karmic retribution, they have to put it out in public of what they're doing. And if you acquiesce and are complicit and are compliant, then the bad things that happen to you do not rebound onto the people that did those bad things because they told you in advance this is what they are going to do. And if you ignored that warning, this is how Alex Jones knew in July of 2001 that the Twin Towers were going to come down before October 1st. There was going to be a terrorist attack, and Osama bin Laden was going to be blamed. There is a video of him on his show predicting this. I think it was July 12th or July 14th of 2001, saying that they were going to come down before the end of September.
How did he know it?
He read the documents that they put out.
Okay.
This is what I'm saying. This is what has driven him crazy. He reads everything that the WEF, that the Bilderberger Group, that the Tripartite Commission, all these extra-governmental entities that are all populated by the rich and famous and powerful, or not famous, but the rich and powerful, okay? He reads every document that these people put out. And the reason they put these documents out is so that the bad karma that they put on you does not rebound to them, because they have told you what their plan is. And these plans go back 100 years or more. And this is another thing. These people that are rich and powerful, these families, these institutions, these, I don't even know what you would call them, these organizations, loose organizations, but they all work together and they have a long-term plan.
Okay.
When they put it out there, like the WEF saying, you will own nothing and be happy. You will eat the bugs, and we will still fly around in our private jets. 2,000 of them go to Davos every year. 2,000 private jets. And that these are the people that are telling us that the climate is in crisis, and you have to eat the bugs.
Okay.
But one flight overseas of a private jet spews out more carbon than my vehicle that I use for my transportation will in its lifetime. But yet, they're buying beachfront property. Look at Obama buying property in Hawaii on the beachfront. Look at him buying property on Martha's Vineyard. They're all doing it.
That's what will get you.
And yet it's supposed to be a climate crisis and the seas are going to rise, but yet they're spending money on beachfront property and still flying around. You want to help the climate? Outlaw private air traffic.
Yeah.
Just do that. Just outlaw private air traffic.
Okay.
Nobody gets to have a private jet.
We've got another.
Jeff Bezos has a 450-foot private yacht that's so big it needs its own private support yacht.
We got another caller.
Thank you for your solutions.
We got another caller.
Appreciate your call.
Thanks a lot for that.
Man. Yeah. I'll let you know.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. No doubt, wealth is perverted. That's by its nature somehow. Hey, caller, you're on.
I just want to basically say I believe what the previous caller was saying, and secondly, I think that Trump is just a tool for the rich and powerful to basically keep moving us toward what they want, which apparently is in a complete authoritarian control government. So it is scary. And for those who think that Trump is going to save us or whatever, get us back on the right track, I think they're misguided. You look at the people that he's appointing. You guys have already talked about the Secretary of Defense or whatever. They just approved the guy who's in control of the federal agency of hiring or whatever. And I have a friend who's a federal employee, and they all federal employees, I think, they got an email basically saying you can take a golden handshake and get out, and they'll pay you for 8 months, and then you're, off on your own. And basically, I don't see how destroying government regulations and institutions, not to mention all the positions that are paid for, are going to be good for the economy. You know, he's going on this, like, he's going to rebuild, be good for America. Basically, he's good for the ultra wealthy, and the rest of us who are on the ground are going to suffer. I don't think his tariffs threatening our neighbors and allies are a good thing. He's driving people to go elsewhere or to look elsewhere or to be in basically in a position where, yeah, the only thing we got to offer is, threats. The other thing I wanted to mention was, in Germany, they're coming up on their elections. They had, what's characterized as the far right. I guess they probably are. I don't know enough about them. But one thing I thought was interesting listening to one of the AfD representatives, which is the far right, they basically say they are going on a platform that is basically much like the, I can't remember if it's the centrist Democrats used to be, and it made me think, like, that's what we need, right? A third party that basically picks up from where the Democrats dropped the ball and started, instead of serving corporate and the rich, back to supporting, the old Democratic ideals, which was for the working person.
Right.
I guess, lastly, I'll just say, right before your show went on, Javi played something that was basically talking about, like, how there is a history in the U.S. about how the criminal justice department, basically prisons, has been used in the past to basically serve, industrial corporate America for free, cheap labor. And I totally think that's where we're going. Mm-hmm. It's like, throw us in jail and then we're going to be working for peanuts, and those products are showing up in Trader Joe's and Costco. Anyways, I guess I'm rambling.
Yeah, we're getting towards the top of the hour. You got to do a little sign off. Thanks for your call.
I'll sign off.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I did want to mention.
Thanks for your call.
I did want to mention that a Republican senator from Kansas, Jerry Moran, who he voted against Trump's impeachment, so he's kind of on the fence as a Republican. He wasn't loyal. I don't think he supported Trump necessarily. He has observed that the aggressive change at USAID shut down $340 million in life-saving food grown in the United States, sitting at the port waiting to be delivered to people who are starving. And, you know, this is the kind of voice we need to hear, that their USAID does, in fact, feed people who are starving and will starve if they don't get food, which is not an ideal situation that we have to feed these people. But, hello, that's something that has to be done. And apparently we had the power to do it, but not anymore. As he said, this is not a Democratic versus Republican issue. This is a humanitarian issue. Phew. I didn't get to talking about trade deficits, which I'm going to be writing about it to post on the website blog, KMUD.org, in the coming week. Just the fact that Trump does not understand. He hears deficits and he thinks red ink on a ledger somewhere and it's bad. And trade deficits are not a zero-sum game. When you have a trade deficit, it doesn't mean you're losing and somebody else is winning. It means the numbers are different. And looking at it in a binational way, like us versus China, makes no sense, because trade deficits are global, or trade relationships are global. And the bottom line is everybody needs stuff and everybody buys stuff. Phew, got it out before the top.
I look forward to reading your long-form essay. I'm not convinced yet.
Well, okay.
I know it's a big, big subject, and deficits all discussed all by themselves are not worth discussing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay.
This has been a KMUD podcast. To listen to other shows and more episodes of this show, find us on all the platforms where you get your podcast, and also on our website, kmud.org.